for God as part of God's great work. But as we look through these first 8 verses, when the phrase stuck out that I want to mostly talk about tonight, it got me thinking, okay, I knew I was having an opportunity to teach soon, and that's usually what happens. The Lord helps me with a devotion. I get a thought in my head. The verses that I send to multiple people, it's from my devotion in the morning. And if I have that one thought, it just seems to give me some stability to just help me through the whole day. But this was from one of my devotions recently. And when I knew I'd be speaking, then I can't just give you one verse and talk about it for 30 minutes. I don't have that ability. So I've got to kind of expand on it a little bit. But let's look at the first 8 verses. Psalm 111, starting in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Do you like reading scripture like that? Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright. In the congregation. Hey, that's right where we are. Look at verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Do you like finding things to do for the Lord? These verses are talking about you. Verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. Yeah, Psalm 136 says, for his mercy, so does his righteousness. Verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Those are promises God has made to Israel and to believers in the Lord. Verse 6. He hath showed his people the power of his works. Where? Where do we learn or see God's works? I like responses when I ask that question. The Bible? I've got something even bigger than the Bible. Thank you. Doesn't it say his handiwork is shown in creation? See, a science teacher understands how big the universe is. Not. It's beyond anything the best space telescopes have seen. See, we look up at a couple thousand stars. You think there's only a couple thousand stars? No. When they sent up the Hubble telescope, I think it was 1990, it's about a 20-inch computerized, computer-enhanced telescope. And they started looking at some of the stars that we couldn't see with our eye. And you know what they found out? It's a galaxy. That one little speck that we can't even see is a group of millions or billions of stars in itself. And we're supposed to wonder about this great God. His handiwork is marvelous. And I got way sidetracked. But his works are amazing. Am I in verse 6? Let's go to verse 6. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Those are the verses that cover the topic that I want to think about and have you pay attention to for a little bit. I don't have 3 points in a poem. When I was in Bible college, the preachers always said, you need 3 points in a poem. Well, I have 3 points. I don't have a poem. Psalms is pretty close to a poem. But I want you thinking about God's great works. Why? Because they're beyond our understanding. What does the scripture say about each of our bodies? God knew about them where? Before we were even a person. He knew the moment of conception you were going to be made a unique individual. Then what? Job said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Why do they think we evolved? I don't get that. But I want to divide God's great works into 3 parts. We have ancient past. We have past. And we have future. Of course, I skipped the present because we all know what it's like to live for the Lord now. So we're going to jump what's happening in our lives right now for most of the message. But what do you know about what God has told us of man's past? We've talked about creation, that wonderful work. Who is the first major character in the Bible? Adam. We don't want to talk about him, but God made him in perfection, and because of an action that he did, the world got cursed. Who's the next major character? Flood. Ark. Noah. What did God do to help him? Andrew, can you tell me what God did to help Noah? Put him in the ark. Kept him safe. That's pretty amazing. Have any of you been to the replica of the ark in Kentucky? What? All that? Oh, he must have had a lot of cranes and bulldozers and heavy equipment. Not back in Genesis chapter 6. No, no. It was an amazing work. How about Abraham? Have you learned steps of faith that God wants you from Abraham's life? The tests of what Abraham went through? And of course, the ancient past includes Moses and how would you have liked to lived during that time? Only if you were following what God said, because those that God was unhappy with, there were problems, real bad problems. And the last person from the Old Testament to think about is David. The great works that David did. A couple of them were mentioned this morning by Brother Josh. Is it good enough just to know the stories, or do those things have an impact on how you think and on how you live for the Lord? They are wonderful works that God did. There are multitudes of other people I could add from the Old Testament, but that's recorded truth. Trusting in these realities of history, or are they just stories? Oh, nice to hear. Does it really help you to believe that God did wonderful works in each of those people's lives and multitudes of others that we didn't talk about yet? Of course. That's the reason why God gave those stories for us to talk about. Anything unusual happen in the New Testament? Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the miracles of the Lord. I want you to be thinking about people who had flesh and blood like us, who were sinners like us. Who is the first New Testament person that God did a great and wonderful work in? Mary? Being chosen out of all the women to fulfill the promise of the Savior. And then there's a lot of silent years after Jesus came on the scene. Who started the whole history of what Jesus was going to do? John the Baptist. Have you reminded yourself on his wonderful story? His dad, Zacharias, had the opportunity as a priest to go into the holy place, and he was supposed to burn incense in there. The priests did that at least twice a day. There was a morning time of incense burning and prayer. There was an evening time of incense burning and prayer. And here is this old priest, angel shows up. Have you ever had an angel pop into your presence? I don't think anybody in the New Testament has. Why not, Casey? Because we're going to learn everything God wants us to know once we study this book more. But that angel said, Zacharias, God has heard your prayer. You're going to have a son. That's pretty miraculous. This man way past the age of childbearing, his wife way past the age of childbearing. But John the Baptist was a wonderful miracle. But God needed him to do a job. Patty, do you know what John the Baptist's job was? Put you on the spot. No. He's got to prepare the way of the Lord. So now you'll probably remember that next time, right? John the Baptist did what? Prepare the way of the Lord. He had a miraculous birth. What about Peter? A fisherman! I like fishing, though. Professional fisherman. A lot of people relate fishermen to sailors and the rough, crude life of people I've known in the Navy. Just that's what kind of comes to mind. But God changed his life. Is God changing you from what you were like before you had the Lord, and he's making you closer to what God wants you to be? That's what our life is for. God's wonderful work in these New Testament people. How about Paul? Robert, what's one thing you know about Paul before he got saved? He arrested Christians, had them killed, had them put in prison. He thought he was doing God's work. And God said, no, I got a different plan. Changed his heart, his life. No, my life didn't change nearly that much. But I'm glad his example is in Scripture, because if he can change Paul, he can change anyone. And the last New Testament Christian was also a disciple of the Lord. He's the one that gave us the prophecy of Revelation. Anybody going to volunteer? You're almost quizzed out. You're almost quizzed out. Casey, the Apostle John saved you. All right. Did you know that too, though? Good. We all need to know these things about these people because they're real lives that God did wonders and miracles with. And how do we learn about them? Just study the scripture. Come hear stories about them. What was John the Baptist's job? See? I like that. But let God find a way to change us. So that's what I have for ancient past. What about more recently? Did God continue to promise to help the nation of Israel? Yes. Is the country of Israel in the news a lot lately? Yes. Where did the Gentiles' help for Israel begin? History time. I don't teach history very much, but it's in my message tonight. The what? 1948. You're way behind. I'm thinking about 1100, 1200, 1300. The Crusades. You see the Christians, quote, that were in Rome and Europe saw the persecution Israel was having. And they sent army after army after army. And there was about a 50% success rate. That was not very good. If God was really in charge of that, there wouldn't be a 50% rate. There'd be a 100% rate if they were doing it for His glory. But Israel has been helped by people around the world. Another terrible event in Israel's life happened the years prior to World War II, the Holocaust. But there are Jews in lots of places. But those Jewish families, and there's still some who have survived that have shared their stories. Some Christians, Corrie Ten Boom. And God is helping them. He's not going to give up on them. Even in the recent news, do you know the success Israel has with technology keeps them from being blasted off the face of the earth by those surrounding them? Yeah, they threaten it all the time. But that's God's wonderful work. He is not going to let people that He has claimed as His own go beyond what we can endure. And the promises that await Israel to come. How about the church, the history of the church? You see, the disciples had the truth. Some of them wrote portions of scripture that we have, the Gospels. And then, after a few more years, Paul's ministry was interspersed. And who recorded the book of Acts for us to learn? The church history, the early church history. It was Luke. Excellent. Luke recorded it and ministered with Paul much of his ministry, between 30 and 40 years is what the scripture records in Acts. And then what? We don't hear a whole lot. But there are some history books. One that I've read many years ago is called The Trail of Blood. It is a recording of groups of people who held true to the scripture and because of it were persecuted and tortured and martyred. Our country is getting closer and closer to that happening to Christians now. Yes. They don't like what we stand for. Because we hate other people? I hope not. Bible says we're to love one another. And I believe that is true for most true Christians. Yes, we're not supposed to like everything sinful people do. But there has to be a love. And they want to turn that around on us. The church is where we are today. But I don't want to talk about today yet. How did God get our country going? What were some of the events that happened at the birth of our country? Who were some of the first godly people that we teach first and second graders? Even before that, because the first people who came over was 1620. George Washington came around in the 1800s. Pilgrims! They were being persecuted in Europe. They finally said, let's try traveling 4,000 miles across the dangerous ocean and see what God will do with us here. That first year, nearly half of them died. The next spring, another boatload comes, and guess what hadn't happened? They didn't grow enough food for the people they had there. And the people on the boat didn't bring enough food for a whole year. That second year was worse than the first. But they were faithful to God. God saw them through. God strengthened them. More recently than those ancient starts in our country, what is God doing in us to help our country today? The church today? We have to see God's victories every day. Let something happen that convinces you, God, that's a victory for you. Professions of faith, those are victories. But you know, you coming to church is a victory. Because Patty's going to remember forever about John the Baptist. He did what? See, if you can answer that, you'll get a cookie sometime in the future. You might have to buy it yourself, but I'll promise you that you can have a cookie for it. I didn't bring them. I do have a few oranges and some grapefruit. And the grapefruit were picked about a week ago, so they feel squishy, but I ate one this afternoon. They're still really yummy. Pardon? Okay. But I wanted to stick with things that were mostly positive, because God's works are really positive. But if you go back and know where God judged sin through all of those different stages, that shows God's handiwork and God's power also. I thought of Gehazi. Thumb up or thumb down for Gehazi? Come on, you vote, please. Thumb up, thumbs down. I see one down. Gehazi? Oh, I get the... What's about Gehazi you don't like, Andrew? Say he got leprosy. Whose leprosy did Gehazi get? King of Syria, Naaman. Naaman was healed. Gehazi took some clothing and a little bit of gold and hid it. And God knew. We need to be careful of God's judgment too. That is a great work of God. He's promised to judge the right and the wrong. The other person I thought about was Achan. Achan, Achan! What was Achan's fault? History was a town called Jericho. He was part of the attack force. And what were the instructions for all the Israelites when they attacked the city? They didn't break down the wall, did they, Andrew? No. They had to march around the city and keep marching and keep marching until they didn't want to march anymore. And then the last day they marched seven times. And then they had to just yell, And these powerful walls crumbled. And then they ran in and destroyed the city. But God singled out one soldier, Achan, again, over some clothes and some gold. Ooh. But God punished the whole tribe. This, God's judgments, are part of his great work. But salvation is God's greatest work for us. A little bit more of my testimony. October 17th, 1974 was my second birthday. I'm kind of glad the person who led me to the Lord emphasized that date. I know a lot of people can't remember the day that they got saved. But it's the experience of what happens in us. We confess our sins and say, God, I need forgiveness. And he'll forgive every sin. He'll forgive the ones we're going to do next week. He's already forgiven them. Now, he does like it when we can keep refreshing that forgiveness. It keeps our spirit connected with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. We're able to be used by God in greater way. But I remember the date. Now what? Well, I was able to marry the only girl I ever dated. Coming up on 48 years this December. That means I've been saved for coming up on 49 years. Because the Lord had to save me before he introduced me to her. What is God doing in your life since that moment of salvation? I gave you an opportunity this morning. Help with the care of the outside of the church. That's service for the Lord. I'm thinking of Mrs. Mendez. She probably can't go out there and do much weeding. If you have to hold on to a device that has wheels on it, you probably don't need to be out there weeding. But if you can walk and pull a hoe or chop, help us. It'd really be good. But ever since the time I got saved, the Lord has let me get involved in his work. I used to bring one of the co-workers was instrumental in bringing a deacon to my dorm room in the Air Force on a Thursday night visitation. But he's not the one that led me to the Lord. A guy named Bill Fortune talked to me and asked me this question: did I know for sure I was going to heaven? Well, I was asked that same question three times in a matter of 2 months. Twice up in Mississippi when I was in school, got down to Florida, asked the same question. I gave the same answer. You remember my answer? You've heard the story a few times? Say, I think so. That was my answer. I think so. Been raised in a denominational church, the Lutherans, and I knew all the Bible stories. I knew a lot. But no one ever asked me, has it burdened my heart, my sin? And when I was shown the scriptures, I had to take God up on his offer of forgiveness. I had to. There was no turning it back. And then, now I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I began taking my friend who couldn't drive to church, to choir practice. And after 2 weeks of sitting there, when the choir was practicing, they said, you might as well come up here and start singing. I'm glad they did that. Because I enjoy singing too much now. I was helping on the buses. And the church we're at had 20-some buses. We'd bring in between 800 and 2,500 children on the fleet of buses on a big promotion Sunday. I finally got to be a bus captain. And back in the days, you could overload the buses. I brought in 151 children on two busloads to the church for that big promotion. And then they decided they wanted to teach the bus children their own Sunday school lessons. Well, how would you like to double the teaching staff? It was a big church. And I had grown enough in the Lord. They said, would you want to try teaching children? You know the Bible stories. Can you teach the Bible stories to children? In junior high, I never wanted to give an oral report. But I said I would try. Amazing. For almost 40 years, I've been teaching school. You say, I can't. Just start somewhere. Teach the children. If you know the Bible story, you can teach it to them. Serving God. What is God's great work for you? Those are God's great work for me. The year I got out of the Air Force, the Lord wanted me to go to Bible college. Okay? Had it all figured out. There was a millionaire in the church that we were attending. We got saved in, married in, down in South Florida. And he got to hear about me, and he said, you're going to Bible college? He said, when you get there, give me a call. I'll help you with your tuition. I could get unemployment when I got out of the Air Force. As of June 30th, the government that year said, nope, people getting out of the service don't get unemployment. And the millionaire, well, I was really meaning if you're going to be a pastor, and since you're in education, everything that I was planning on, but you know, God had a better plan, because we got into an apartment. I had three small children, and the owner of the apartment was unsaved, and I said, the VA still hasn't paid me. It only took them a year to re-catch it up. But we lived in this unsaved man's apartment for a year without having to pay the rent every month. Working part-time, going to school full-time, having a family. Yeah. But it came one day that we had about that many crackers in a sleeve of saltines, and a peanut butter jar that had very little in it. We ate breakfast. Joanne was teaching Christian school. We sent the kids with her. I went to school. And when God does a miracle, and there's bags of groceries on your doorstep, you have to trust Him. You have to. But see, I wouldn't have done that myself. Why is it so easy that I feel for me to serve the Lord? Because when He does something like that for you, you have to give Him your life. That's my history. Not everybody has it. You talk to missionaries, they go to other lands. Yes, we say we support them, but it's never enough. When God gets a hold of your heart, you give him your life. So what's the future? The future is we've got to be living for God. We have to. Let him prove himself true in your life. And you get these wonderful miracles that it talks about in Psalm 111. I have enough time to read back through it. I want to end with those same 8 verses. And you find parts of that verse that you say, God, I can claim that as a miracle in my life. It's true about those in the Old Testament. These verses are true about people in the New Testament, but they're true in our lives too. And it sets up our future. And I don't have time to talk about what heaven's going to be like for those of us who've trusted the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 111, starting again in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Heavenly Father, my recollection of how you've worked in my life, maybe it will have an impact on the folks that heard. But you've given us many, many wonderful examples of how you worked for people throughout Scripture. And maybe they're thinking, well, I've seen it happen for other people. Show your great work to everyone that's listening. Let them start thinking about the little victories. Hey, I was able to share the gospel with someone. Hey, somebody learned part of a Bible verse. Heavenly Father, you're the only one who can reveal what each of us needs to be busy doing. And when we find ways to serve you and to love you, it makes walking with you that much sweeter. Pour out your hand of blessing as only you can. And help us to enjoy the life you've given us, because we've trusted in a wonderful Savior, and now we want to live for him with everything that we have. It is in your name we're asking. Amen.